Blog Talk Radio.
Day. I'm looking out my window and the trees are covered in snow. I really thought spring was on its way and winter was gone, but no. Yesterday, as you know, we got snow, and it's beautiful. I have to admit, the snow on the trees, it's just beautiful. God really knows, you know, when that scripture, when Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field, they do not toil, they do not spin, and yet look how beautiful they look. And in comparison to Solomon, he doesn't even come close. And you look at the trees, how God has adorned them with snow, and just the beauty of it all, the majesty of it all, just lets you know there is a mighty God, a mighty creator, who knows how to beautify his fallen world. This world is fallen, but God still beautifies it. And we're pretty much like that. We were fallen in sin, and then Christ came along and beautified us by his grace. How precious his name. I love these songs by Alan Jackson. He sang a short one there. I said, I got to get another one. One's not enough. So I played two songs. I normally play one. But, yeah, I can listen to Alan Jackson all day. He has an iconic voice, and he's just one of my favorites, one of my favorites. And I'm not a country music person, but I just happen to like his style. So today we're back, precious brothers and sisters, to talk about God's encouragement to us not to be dismayed, for he is our God. What does that mean, he's our God? Well, he created the world. He beautifies the trees with snow. He sends snow. He sends the sun. He sends the rain. He sends it all. God is not only creator, but he is sustainer of this planet. He provides his providential care. He maintains all planets in the solar system. He maintains everything, even the solar systems and the planets and the moons and that we know nothing of. He sustains all those places. He's God. He is indeed God. He's not a Philistine God made out of stone who has eyes but cannot see and hands but cannot deliver and feet who cannot run fast enough to save. No, no, no. Our God, listen, those gods of antiquity, the gods of the Canaanites, those gods stopped existing when the Canaanites stopped existing. The ancient gods of Egypt stopped existing when that civilization died off. But our God lives on. Why? Because he's not the creation of man. We are his creation. He is not our creation. We are his. And because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. He's in complete control. So he tells us not to be dismayed. And what does the word dismay mean? It means don't be rattled. Don't be knocked sideways when something ugly confronts you. Don't be thrown off balance. Why? Because he's God. And he's got it all under control. And all we need to do is run to him. Run to him. Well, on Tuesday, we talked about how church leaders be not dismayed. That word came to Joshua in Joshua 1:9 and Joshua 8:1. The Lord spoke to Joshua and said, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you." Then yesterday, we looked at soldiers of Christ. Be not dismayed. You may not be the senior pastor of a church. You may be a deacon. You may be a trustee. You may be a deaconess. You may be a lay preacher. You may be a church evangelist. You may be a church mother, a church father. And to you as a soldier of Christ, one who stands on the front lines with the pastor, God also says to you, as he does to the pastor, be not dismayed. The same word he spoke to the pastor, he speaks, been handed down. As Joshua received it in that wonderful chain of custody, Joshua takes that same word without altering one word of it and passes it down to the leaders under him. It applies to both. Today we're going to look at church builders. Be not dismayed. Church builders, be not dismayed. You know, Grace Church is undergoing a spiritual reconstruction, if you will. Not the building. The building is fine. The building, as we discussed in our board meeting, there's a few things that need to be done to the outer exterior of the buildings, a few things that need to be patched up. The building is fine. But the spiritual building, the church, the membership, has much work, needs much work. And so the Lord is going to speak to us today, to all of you at Grace, to me also. God is going to speak to us and tell us, do not fear and do not be dismayed, although the task is daunting. I got to tell you, filling up those pews is going to be a daunting task to rebuild the church, spiritually speaking. To have every pew filled is a daunting task. It's intimidating. It's intimidating. But he says, be not afraid and be not dismayed. Let's turn to the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. In this chapter, David is passing the baton of leadership to his son Solomon. David is passing the baton of leadership to his son Solomon. David is old. And he says here, let's look at verse number 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young, and he's tender. And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Think about that. A magnificent building for the Lord. Magnificent in beauty. David says, we're not building God a tent. We're not building God a little shanty. We're not, no. Just, this house of God must be magnificent. It must be awesome. It must also, the fame of it must go from one corner of the earth to the other, and the glory of it throughout all countries. I therefore now make preparations for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, let's turn to verse 11. When he speaks to Solomon, and this is where he passes the baton of the project to Solomon, the building of God's house. And this is where we get our subject for today, church builders, be not dismayed. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Notice how important that phrase is. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. Isn't that what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9? Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. See, that's the key. That's why we need not fear. This is why we need not be dismayed. If God be with us, everything will be okay. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee. And prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. In other words, God said that Solomon, God had picked Solomon to build the house. He was God's choice to build the house, not David, Solomon. And it goes on to say in verse 11, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then, if you keep the law, if you keep the word, without altering it, without making omissions, without deleting anything, if you keep it as we received it in the chain of custody, then thou shalt prosper. If you take heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Now, here's the key verse, key portion of the verse. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not or fear not, nor be dismayed. It's the same words God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not or fear not, nor be dismayed. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. Oh, Lord, how we love you. Oh, Lord, how we look forward to these days in March when you shall add to the church daily as such as should be saved. Oh, Lord, we already see you adding. We already see you in the construction of your church. We see you adding key components, key parts, and we can only stand in awe and say, this is God. This is God's doing. This is God's hand. The hand of the Lord is with us. We are not alone. We are not working alone, but God is right there by our side, adding what needs to be added as he so pleases, at his pace, not our pace, so that we are not overwhelmed. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your great knowledge, your great understanding. Now, Lord, impart some of that wisdom to us. Give us wisdom and understanding as David prayed for Solomon. Oh, Lord, how we need wisdom. Oh, Lord, how we need understanding. We are building the church again. We are causing the building to rise up. We are co-laborers together with you, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, the reason why I put church builders is because I am not the only one building. Please do not think that I am the only one building. No. If you lead a department in the church, let's say if you have been giving responsibility over the men's ministry, then it's your job to build that portion of the ministry. If you have responsibility over the youth, you too are a church builder. If you are over music, if you are over the deacons, if you are over the trustees, whatever your role is in the church, if you're over the children's Sunday school, whatever ministry you are responsible for, if you are responsible for street evangelism, of organizing the saints and going from door to door, if that's your ministry, handed to you by the Lord has picked you to do that. If your ministry is serving tables, think about it. At Grace right now, we have a handful of people, and it's easy to prepare. Because nothing is easy. But as you know, it's a lot easier. Let me put it this way. It's a lot easier to serve 30 than it would be 250. Let me put it that way. It's a lot easier. So we're building the church together. All of us are co-laborers. You and I are working together. If you're in charge of the prayer ministry, we're working hard to build that. You see, everyone on the wall, like Nehemiah said, this is your section of the wall. It's your responsibility to build that section. And it's my responsibility to build this section. And everybody's got a section of the wall. And that's why I entitled today's lesson, Church Builders Be Not Dismayed. So you look at your wall and you say, how am I going to do it, Lord? I look at myself, Lord, and I see myself. I look and I make an assessment of myself, and I don't think I have what it takes to build. Well, that's not true. God has picked you. And if he picked you, you're the man, you're the woman for the job. Now, I know it's daunting. I know it's intimidating. But it's up to you to build that section of the wall. So here, notice, David says to Solomon, if you keep the word of God, and that's key, we have to keep the word of God. We cannot mix the word of God with human techniques. You know, there's a lot of churches that are using worldly techniques to get people in. For example, I'll give you an example. There's a church over there in Orlando, Florida, that the way that they try to build up their Wednesday night Bible study is they have door prizes. So what they do is they announce on Sunday morning, we're going to give out an iPad this week at the Wednesday night Bible study. And so the church goes into its budget. It takes out the money. It buys an iPad. And then as people come in, They say, okay, look under your chair, and if you have number so-and-so, you have won the iPad for tonight. You see, that's not the way you build the church. People are only coming for the goodies. They're not coming for Jesus. That's what I mean by worldly techniques. Worldly techniques have seeped into the church, and church leaders and church members think that if they do like the world, they can attract a crowd. That's not what we want to do. We want people to come because they are in a love relationship with God. So we're building, and we're building correctly. We're building biblically. So the task is daunting. The task is intimidating. And let me give you two reasons why. And I'm gonna keep in mind that already a little birdie told me that I was long-winded and that I needed to keep these daily manners short, because that's what I promised in the beginning. So I'm gonna try to be quick. But again, there's so much in the text that if I fail to tell you this, then I will be upset with myself. Okay, so why is the task undaunting? Or rather, excuse me, not undaunting, but daunting for Solomon. Why is Solomon so intimidated? Well, because he's young. Look at verse 5. And David says, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. He's got hardly any life experience. He's a young man. He's a young man with hardly any life or ministry experience. And here I am throwing upon his little itty-bitty shoulders, I'm throwing upon him, and God is putting upon him this great task to build a temple that will, just blow the minds of people from all countries. God has placed on his shoulder this task to build a temple that will never be rivaled in magnificence. A temple that will truly honor who the God of gods is. He's young and tender. My goodness, what a project. You should have given him something small. You should have started him out with an itty-bitty project. But here he is starting ministry with the biggest project of them all. That's God. See, God picked Solomon. David wanted to do it himself. David felt he could do it himself. But God said, no, I don't want you to do it. That task will I give to your son. And he's young and he's tender, but it's his job. You will never, the same way God said to Moses, you will not lead the people into the promised land. That job will belong to Joshua. You know, God gets to determine who does what. It's his church. Now, we may feel that we can do the job or that we would like to do the job, but God has determined when we start and when our time is up. And he determines what project gets done under what timing. So why is the task daunting and intimidating? Well, because Solomon is young and tender. Number two, the task is daunting and intimidating because Solomon has big shoes to fill. Think about it. What track record does Solomon have? What does he have on his resume? Nothing. The only thing he's got on his resume is that he's the son of David, but he hasn't done anything. He hasn't proven himself. He's got zero accomplishments on his resume. And yet he's being asked to fill his father's shoes. You know, David was larger than life. Think about it. You're following a leader? You're following David? David, the greatest king of Israel, you're following in his footsteps? You're his successor? Boy, people are going to be making comparisons for decades. Oh, your father did this, and look at you. You're falling short. Oh, we had it so much better in your father's days. Listen, it's intimidating for a young man to follow, a young man who's starting out. It's so difficult to follow in the footsteps of a great preacher. It's daunting. It's intimidating. Listen, Joshua experienced the same thing. How do you follow Moses? My goodness, everybody's going to be comparing you to Moses. Moses is the bar. Listen, Moses is the standard. And when you don't reach that, people are going to say, well, you know, he's not Moses. We got to settle. So number two, you have big shoes to fill. When I go into the back there to go into the office to pick up my markers and my eraser, I pass that wall there, and I see the pictures of those preachers there, and I say, boy, I got big shoes to fill. Oh, yes, I do. I say that to myself. I have big shoes to fill. Those are big shoes, saints. This church, Grace Church, has been in existence since 1874. Correct me if I'm wrong, but since 1874, Grace Church has been there. And it's been there because there have been pastors there, and those pastors have big shoes. And here I come following them, and I hear the stories how once that place was filled with souls. You don't think that's daunting? You don't think that's intimidating? Of course it is. I don't care how many years you've been in ministry. I don't care what your resume says. I don't care what accomplishments you have. I don't care what you did in the past and where you did it. This is Grace now. This is St. Johnsville now. This is a different ball game. So one, Solomon was young and tender, no experience. You say, but Pastor, you really think God's going to use me? Pastor, you're throwing me into the fray. Pastor, you're putting me on the front lines. Pastor, I have no experience. Yes, God picked you. Now let's start marching for Jesus. Let's start standing up for Jesus. God used a young and tender Solomon. You claim to be young and tender. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you. Secondly, big shoes to fill. Of course, I can only imagine how Sister Beth Close felt when Sister Millie said to her, you're taking over the duties of the organ. I could only imagine how intimidating that was for Sister Beth. How daunting that was for her. How people were always going to be measuring her to Sister Millie. But God is with Beth. What a magnificent job. What a blessing she is from Sunday to Sunday. As I was with Millie, so shall I be with you, Beth. You see, my brothers and sisters, do you see how it works? Do you see how together we, all of us, young and tender, we stand together. Okay, it's our job. It has fallen on our shoulders now to rebuild Grace. But remember, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord our God is with us. Don't you see it every week, saints? Don't you see new people coming in? New people just, that's God. Of course, we're praying, we're believing, we're doing what we can, but that's God drawing them. So number two, big shoes to fill. And then number three, the task at hand. The task at hand. Look at all those pews we have to fill. You say, but Pastor, why are you putting such responsibility on us? Well, my brothers and sisters, I didn't put the responsibility. God did. You know, when that church was constructed, when that church was built, the church leaders felt from God that the church should have 24 pews. That's the number they came up with. And God would have his house to be filled. So that's the task. The task is to fill that place to overflow. And once you fill it, we got to refill it a second time. and a third time, and we got to keep cramming people in there because our job is to preach Jesus saves. Have you heard the joyful sound? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's the message. And there's thousands of people in the vicinity that need saving. The task at hand is daunting and intimidating because when you look, we can basically fit all of Grace Church right now. If we were to have everybody sit together, we can basically fill Grace Church in 3 pews. That means 21 are completely empty. 21. 21. But the task is to rebuild the house. So one, we're young and tender. Two, we have big shoes to fill. And three, the task at hand is tremendous. Solomon has got to build a house that will let the world know that the God of Israel is God. We have got to build a house that will let St. Johnsville and the surrounding area know that God is God, that he is moving. You know, I hear pastors, I bump into pastors, and they, woe is me, nobody wants to come, nobody cares, COVID destroyed the church. Wait a minute, what God do you serve? Is he not still on the throne? Doesn't God still reign? What are you bemoaning the fact that people don't want to come? The Bible says, Jesus says, unless the Father draw them, they cannot come. Listen, saints, all we have to do is turn to God. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, when I was with Moses, I took the people out of Egypt. And now I'm with you, I'll take the people into Canaan. See, out of Egypt under Moses, into Canaan under Joshua. Same God. Same God. See, same God. So, well, I don't have enough leaders. Well, do you have God? Is God on your side? That's enough. Remember the series I did, God Plus One? God Plus One. The pastor and God, I don't have enough of this, and I don't have, if you have God, it's God plus one, you and God. Well, I passed my time. I hope today's lesson was a blessing. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap it up. May God keep you and bless you, and do not forget, tonight is youth meeting, and I think youth meeting and choir. Tomorrow night is men's ministry. Tomorrow during the day is the homebound church services, and don't forget all the activities that we have this weekend. May God bless you and keep you and watch over you. And listen, look at your side of the wall and say, it may be daunting, it may be intimidating, but God is with me. We will build it. God bless you. Here's a little bit more of Alan Jackson.
Garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the sun. Garden with him. And the joy we share as we tell.